Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday, August 2nd, 2012, and you are listening to Girls Getting the Fact, part of Garage Talk Live with Tammy and Cindy. We're going to have some awesome things going on tonight. First up, calling in around 8:10, we're going to have Landon Kling. He's going to be joining us. He's one of the drivers for Brad Keselowski Motorsports, and we're going to be doing a preview of this weekend's event up here in Pocono, the beautiful Pocono Mountains here in Pennsylvania. But, Cindy, what kind of news do you have for us this week?
Well, what kind of news do we want this week? I guess we can touch base with, you know, Jimmy Johnson's fourth win at the Brickyard. You know, I mean, that's just always something exciting to talk about. But really what I want to talk about is, you know, I never noticed when the team is lined up to kiss the bricks, they're all on pretty pillows.
That's right.
Never noticed that. I just thought that, you know, they were going down there really to give homage to the bricks. But yet they're still pampered.
They are. They don't have to worry about digging those knees into that track. They have a little bit of cushion underneath of them when they're bending over to kiss those bricks.
They do. And his daughter, oh, that was just so cute. She was looking like, what are you doing? Why are you down there kissing that brick like that? You know, you tell me no, dirty.
Yeah, but you're all bending down and doing it.
Exactly. I was like, really?
It's like this is the one time where the rules don't apply.
Right. While I'm pulling this up, did you want to talk a little bit about Grandview? I know that we missed that on Monday.
We did. We have a race weekend this weekend coming up. It's just your standard race night. We're going to have your modifieds, your late models, and your sportsmen's competing. We had Thunder on the Hill this past Tuesday night with Danny Johnson taking home the win in the big block tournament. And the big thing that's coming up right now for Grandview is not this Saturday, but the following Saturday. It's going to be the Forrest Rogers Memorial. It is in honor of the founder of the track. They run it every year. This year there is a bonus. If you are a track regular and you win this race, you're going to be winning $20,000 in the modifieds. If you are not a track regular and you beat all the track regulars, you will be winning $10,000. So a lot of money on the line that night, and there's a lot of money on the line over the next couple weeks up there at the track. So always Garage Talk Live, we have information on there, or the track's website is GrandviewSpeedway.com. You got to get up there and check it out with your family. If you haven't been up there yet this year, it's worth the trip. You know, you can take coolers in, you can take food in, you don't have to worry about that. Kids 12 and under are free on regular race nights, and I think even on special nights it's like $5 for them to get in. It's not that expensive at all. So pack the family up and go have some fun.
Wonderful. If I'm ever up there, I'll definitely have to go with you and check out what we're always talking about.
Oh, you know I'll take you out there.
I know you will. Parade me around. Let's go. All righty. Well, it was reported today that Dodge is going to skip the first test for the 2013 cars. The car has been approved, but it's going to skip the first tire test next week at Martinsville. It's still looking for teams to campaign the 2013 Charger in the Sprint Cup. And it's only manufactured back teams that are going to be able to do so. So I'm not really sure why they're skipping it or...
That's kind of interesting, too. Why, I mean, like Penske, why aren't they wanting to get those cars out there? I wonder if it's maybe just not quite ready yet.
Penske announced that in March it's going to switch to Ford.
That makes things even more interesting.
It says Dodge has continued to meet the deadlines and work on its 2013 body despite not having teams signed for the 2013 season. Earlier this week, NASCAR announced that all four manufacturers have met the necessary targets for their 13 Sprint Cup series. It says, due to lack of time to prepare for the on-track test for 2013, scheduled next week, we've elected to forego the test opportunity. Let's see, the schedule of the test next week is Kevin Harvick, Jimmy Johnson in the Chevrolets, Carl Edwards in the Ford, Truex Jr. in the Toyota. Now, there'll be plenty of tests for Dodge to participate to get ready for the 13th season if it signs teams to run its cars. But right now, it doesn't look like it.
Wow.
Right? Now, also, BK Racing has decided to run a special decal for the two missing girls, Elizabeth Collins and Lyric Cook. They've been missing since July 13th, and they are, let me see where they've been missing from. In Evansdale, Iowa. So, yeah, I knew it was Iowa is where I had thought. The two girls were last seen on their bicycles leaving their Lake Myers or Myers Lake after leaving their grandmother's house. The police still assume that they are alive. So they're going to feature images of both of the girls along with a phone number to call for any information. It's going to be run at the Pennsylvania 400. Let's see. And that's about it. Breaking Limits and BK Racing are the ones that are sponsoring that.
That's really cool. That's a nice thing of them doing.
Yeah, I had heard about it. A friend of mine had called and thought that maybe we could put, you know, maybe something on one of our cars to do it. But he did that yesterday. I said, well, it's just not going to be possible. Actually, it's also going to have the decal is going to be on the deck lid of Landon Castle, the number 83, and the 93 Toyota of Travis Quaffle.
Nice. It's nice to see the guys helping out in the communities and, you know, trying to do what they can.
Well, you know, you're right. And if I recall, not too long ago, I'm really trying to think who it was. Kevin Conway had a picture of a convicted, well, not even convicted, a suspect of killing a girl, maybe his girlfriend or something down the way, and he had it on his car. The picture of this guy, you know, have you seen this guy? Well, the guy ended up turning himself in.
Wow.
He could not take any more of it. I'm not really sure, you know, what the events led to the murder of this girl, but he did turn himself in because of Kevin Conway's car. So, you know, this might be able to, you know, promote some leads, you know, to bring those two girls home. I know I would be sickened, absolutely sickened.
Yeah, that's horrible. And, you know, it's just great to see everybody doing their part and trying to do what they can to help them out, help that family out.
Yeah, definitely. All righty. Well, Casey Kane is on his 500th NASCAR start.
Wow.
On Sunday.
That's a lot.
This will be his 500th NASCAR start. Right. The breakdown is 308 starts in the Cup Series, 186 in Nationwide, and 5 in the Camping World. And he has a total, he has a combined 26 wins and 500 starts. 26. I think I'd want more, but.
Yeah, I think I would too. But given how he's bounced around a little bit between teams and everything like that, you know, you can't complain too much on that one.
Definitely not. And then there's still the news about, you know, AJ Allmendinger being released by Penske. In the meantime, Sam Hornish Jr. will be driving the car. And then we have a statement yesterday that AJ Allmendinger made. Effective today, I have been released from Penske Racing as driver of the number 22 Dodge Charger. I wish to thank Mr. Penske, Penske Racing, their sponsors, and especially all the 22 team for the opportunity they provided me and for their support in this difficult time. I also, again, would like to thank all my fans that have really been awesome through this. I apologize for the distraction, embarrassment, and difficulties that my current suspension from NASCAR has provided. As I stated last week, I have begun NASCAR's Road to Recovery program and look forward to using those resources and its completion to compete again in the NASCAR, to compete again in NASCAR in the near future. Well.
It's a good statement and everything, but I still, they don't say what happened or anything like that. So we're all just speculating. And I just wish maybe we had a little bit more clarification to understand the situation more. I mean, he still doesn't come across as the type of person that would be using anything. And how do we know it wasn't food that he ate? You know, it's stimulant. Like I said before, it can be anything.
It could be, but how do we know it wasn't?
Right, exactly. You know, and it's like, well,
we've seen it before.
Right, exactly. And I don't want to keep, you know, guessing and saying yes or no one way or the other. It makes it tough, but I understand at the same time he does have the right to his privacy, too.
Right.
And if it was a mistake, you know, it's the same thing. Why do you, you know, I wish there was an easier way that maybe we could clear this all up.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think we're going to get the answer. I don't think we'll ever get the answer. And, you know, the only way that we got the answer with Jeremy Mayfield is all of the events that followed.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like they released and he said, yes, I was doing it. I mean, he defended himself until, what, last year when he got busted.
Exactly.
So we'll never know. Now, Shell's also made a statement. It says, Shell and Penske fully support NASCAR's substance abuse policy and Penske's racing decision to release A.J. Allmendinger as the driver of the number 22 Charger. We wish him the best as he participates in the road to recovery and will continue to work with Penske to determine the plans for the 2013 season.
Well, let's table this topic for now. Let's bring on our first guest of the night.
Wonderful.
I'd like to bring on Landon Kling right now. He's driver for Brad Keselowski Motorsports. How you doing tonight, Landon?
Good. Thanks for having me on. How are you?
Oh, good. Thanks. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on here, and I'm glad to talk to you guys.
Well, we're glad to have you. That's for sure.
So now, what does your schedule look like this weekend?
Oh, my schedule this weekend is I'm probably actually traveling to California to help my brothers that race some off-road trucks back and on the West Coast. And so I'm traveling with them and I spot for my brothers. And so it's not a racing weekend for me, but I'll be out at the track helping them.
So racing's in your family then. How long have you been doing this and what gave you your start?
Well, I've been racing since I was 7 years old. It's always been around. My dad raced a little while when he was able to, and then when I was 7, I got into go-karts, and I did that until I was 13, and we had a lot of success there. And then we moved up into a dirt series called Mod Lights, and I raced in that for 2 seasons. And we had really good success there, picked up a Rookie of the Year. And then when we were looking to move up, we were kind of looking around, and then the opportunity came to drive for BKR and the Checkered Flag Foundation, and then so we've been racing with them in the past South for the past 2 seasons.
Now, okay, Pass South is a little bit new for some of our listeners, so give us a little bit of information about it. What type of cars is it, and what is it like?
Well, it's a super late model on the asphalt, and it's a series located mostly in the South, and so we race in North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, and then we'll go to Tennessee once. And so I believe there's 16 races, and we visit a few of the same tracks. It's a really competitive series. I mean, the points this year are super close, and there's good car counts. And so it's a really nice series to be able to run in, and it's pretty fun.
Oh, now do you have a favorite track on the series this year, or all of them about the same for you?
I mean, there's some good tracks out there, Hickory Motor Speedway and South Boston. We picked up our first win at this year, so those are some of my favorites. I mean, there's some other fun ones out there. I raced at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis last year with the CRA. That one's fun. So, I mean, I enjoy them all.
Well, that's great. Now, are you? It says in here, a high school senior?
Yep, I'll be a senior this year.
So you're a junior. You just finished your junior year of high school.
Yeah, I did. So I got one more year left.
Wow, and you're already doing this and doing really well out there in tracks, it looks like.
Yeah, definitely. We're having a good season this year. Picked up our first win, and we're fourth in points, and we're really close in the points race. And it's just great to be able to do this at such a young age and have the honor to drive for somebody like the Checkered Flag Foundation and BKR.
Wow, that is amazing.
Now, Landon. Oh, go ahead, Tammy.
You're fine, go ahead.
Landon, this is Cindy. You know, as much as I want to hear about your accomplishments in motorsports, let's talk about you being in school for a minute. How hard is that? Because I know that, you know, your mind a lot of times is elsewhere when you really have to study, especially your junior year was probably going to be the most difficult. So
yeah,
how do you balance them both?
Well, I mean, I'm lucky enough to be able to, I do pretty well in school, and then most of my teachers, they'll give me work a day early and stuff, so when I'm gone, I can do it all when I'm on the airplane or something like that, and then I'll just keep up with my studies over the weekends and stuff, you know, during travel time, and definitely it can be hard at sometimes, but I'm able to do it all, and I've made it work now, and so I've only got one more year left, and luckily I've got a half schedule, so I think it's working out all right.
So what are your grades like?
they're all A's. I mean, I'll get last year I got all A's. I'll get a B once in a while, but I do pretty well at school.
Well, that's always good to know. Always good to know. Now, you had mentioned the Checker Flag Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
What, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, that's Brad Keselowski's foundation. He helps families and service members that have been in the military and are returning or have been injured, and he does a lot of good things for them, and he has a website, checkerflagfoundation.org, that you can check out. It's a really good thing. You can donate to them, and there's certain like reward packages you can get back from them for the amount of donations that you give, and it's a really good thing to look into.
So, well, that sounds really good. I'm looking at all the stuff on your website. And it's pretty much listed everything
mm-hmm.
here. Do you help him participate with the foundation?
Well, being so far away, being so far away, I'm not always able to. If I was out there, I definitely would be. But, I mean, being in Arizona and most of the events take place either at NASCAR races or back in North Carolina, I'm not able to help out as much as I'd like to.
Right. Do you have plans to move forward or stay in the type of series that you're in?
We're definitely planning on moving forward. I mean, we're running for a championship this year. And then, I mean, just as the time goes, we're planning on moving up, and we'll see what happens. I mean, the ultimate goal is to be racing on Sundays, and so we're just taking the steps to move up right now.
Are you looking to go into track, or are you looking to go into nationwide once you start moving?
It really depends on what rides are out there at the time. I mean, if a nationwide ride comes before a truck ride, then we'll definitely take that. But, I mean, we're taking it one step at a time.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely one step at a time. Well, that's really good to know. Tammy?
So what events
yep.
do you have coming up, and what do you, I know with the Checkered Flag Foundation, everything like that, what do you get to do with them? Have you done anything with Brad with the events and anything like that, and appearances?
Well, with Brad, I've not specifically done anything, but they had like a bike ride on Memorial Day that they were able to a lot of people came out, and they had kind of a barbecue there for all the veterans. And then at the tracks and stuff, like a few times he has a ride-along cars, and he'll take the veterans out that have been injured and stuff, and let them ride in the cup car and experience something new. So, I mean, he does a lot of good things for them.
Wow, that is really cool. Now, you do this at the tracks where you compete at. Does he do them at all the tracks? How does that work? Is it just limited to the divisions you're in, or does he do it with everything?
He does it with a Sprint Cup car at some of the races he does. There's a few different tracks. It's not every single weekend, but there are certain times when he'll bring those cars with him on a weekend and then take those guys out there on the track.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's one thing we don't always hear of when we're out there covering the races and everything, but it's nice to know that, you know, the drivers are doing that, and it's nice to see you being a part of that and that you're coming up through the ranks and everything like that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to know that they're out there and they're still giving back to the community in ways that a lot of people don't even think of, that they're doing that.
Now, who is that your only sponsor in the car, or do you have other sponsors that help you out each week?
Checkered Flag Foundation and Umbrella Sports Group, they're our main two sponsors, and they're helping us out.
Now, do your parents help, you know, with any of the funding, you know, down the road? I mean, I know you'd mentioned you know, you have brothers that also race. Is it like a family organization where, you know, I mean, if you all are short on sponsorship for the weekend, or, you know, do they help in?
Well, my family's helped out as I've moved up. It was a family racing deal all the way up until when we signed with Brad, and I went go-karting and dirt racing. That was all a family deal, and so I've worked with my dad at the track, and then now as we're moving up, I'm working with crew chiefs and everybody on the team.
Right. Have you started, you've always lived in Arizona?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the hot?
Yeah, it's definitely hot here. I mean, going back to North Carolina where it's humid, it's about just as bad. It might not be as hot temperature-wise, but especially when you're driving and it's humid like that, you're sweating like crazy. So it's different, but it's not more fun in one place than the other.
Right. Well, you know, I'm from California, so I know, you know, the heat is something. But when you add heat and humidity, I mean, it takes your breath away. You don't have that in Arizona. You just have straight up hot. You're like Las Vegas. It's just hot.
Yeah. It's dry hot.
Breathe.
And then the humidity is it's almost worse.
Yeah, there's not much humidity. Now, you know, let's talk about Arizona for a minute. Where are you? Are you in Phoenix or near there?
I'm in Tempe. It's right. It's kind of like a sub-city of Phoenix.
What's up with this smoke? This dust cloud coming through there.
Yeah, the desert is 2 miles. I mean, it's a ways out there, but the wind gets blowing, and then these huge dust storms will roll through, and they're, oh, God. I mean, you see them on the news, and they look like they're a mile high or something like that. It's these huge dust clouds roll through here, and can't see 10 feet in front of you. It's kind of nasty, but we haven't had one in a little while, thank God.
So they're pretty bad, huh? I mean, what we
they can be.
And pictures, I mean, it just looks like something has just blanketed the entire city. You can't see anything, can't see any buildings, and it's almost like when the picture, maybe if they would continue on, that as they keep going, there'd be nothing left, but everything's still standing.
There was a really bad one last year that you wake up the next morning, everything's got a nice thin layer of dust on it, and it's just getting everywhere.
I've always wanted to ask someone about that, because, I mean, it just looks absolutely, it looks horrifying. I mean, it looks like it's really, really scary, but from your standpoint, it's really not that bad is what we're seeing.
Yeah, it's weird. You look outside and all the lights are really dim and you can't really see very far or anything. It's kind of a weird storm that we get sometimes here.
And y'all call it a storm?
Yeah, I mean, some people call it a haboob and stuff. That's kind of picked up around here. Everybody posts pictures of it on the internet and stuff. And I don't know, I mean, I just call it a dust storm.
You know, and in Texas, it's fixing to come a flood. But what's it fixing to do over there? Fixing to get naughty. Right. Wow. That. I mean, I was just, you know, curious about that. So now you say you race mainly in the South?
Yeah. In the series we're running right now, we're running in the South.
And so you just fly every weekend. You come home after the race, go to school, and hop on the airplane, head on back out.
Mm-hmm. So, like, when school starts, I start school in about a week, and then I'll usually fly out at lunch or something on Thursdays and get wherever I'm going late at night, and we'll go to the track Friday and practice, then race Saturday, and I'll fly back home on Sunday, so it's quite a bit of traveling.
that is quite a bit. Now, do you find that you have a lot of friends at school?
I mean, a lot of people are there. I mean, racing isn't quite as big in the area I'm in as it is in others, but a lot of people are, they're definitely, they're interested in it, and they kind of keep up with it, and it's something different that I do that a lot of people don't.
Or they want to come with you. Can I go?
Yeah, I get that question sometimes. I tell them, if you want to buy your own plane ticket, you're free. You're welcome.
Hop on, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I can see, you know, I grew up with motocross, with some of the larger names in motocross, and growing up through high school doing this, their yearbook pictures have, like, a picture like this one here that I'm looking on your upcoming, you know, your race schedule. It says feature events, upcoming races, and special events. The one car that's right under the Lucas Oil Raceway, I mean, I just totally see that, like, plastered in your yearbook, correct?
Yeah, there's been some pictures in school newspapers and stuff like that.
Do you feel awkward about that? Like, look, it's just something I do?
No, I mean, I take pride in it. A lot of people are interested in it, so I think it's cool that it kind of gets publicized and stuff. That's something that doesn't really go on, and I take part in it.
Right. Now, I know this is a question, you know, basically that we just asked, but we have a listener just asked, after graduation and after your year of past racing, will you move to the truck team up with Parker?
Well, that's nothing's for sure yet. I mean, it's everything's up in there. They have the one truck right now, and Parker's racing that, and so nothing's for sure yet. If anything does happen, there'll be a press release on it, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to be able to say yes, that it's all,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
ready to this
yeah.
time, this
I mean,
time next
it'd
year,
be nice,
you'd be locked in. Right.
Yeah.
You know, but I think all drivers and all series are feeling the same thing. It would be nice to say, yes, I have a team for next year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's struggling on the same issue, is where am I going to be next year? Now, yours is a little different because of, you know, you're still in school. And do you find that you get less respect as a driver because of your age?
You know, at first you do. Like, joining a new series, you definitely don't have the respect coming in. It took a little while to get the respect. But once you start getting good finishes and showing the guys that you can race with them and not do anything out of line, then you start getting respect, and you'll talk to all the guys in the garage. And so, I mean, I think with anything, it's like that at first. You're the new guy, you're not going to get the amount of respect that maybe you should get, but then as time goes on and you prove yourself, you definitely start getting more respect.
It's not. And do you get worried when you're out there on the track, especially when there's a veteran coming around, you know, just say he's passing you or anything? Do you worry about, oh my gosh, please don't let me mess up this guy?
No, I try not to get that in my head. You know, I'll stay focused, and if they're faster than me and it's not the very end of the race, I mean, we'll be smart about it and let them on by. And then hopefully in the race, later in the race, if we're faster than they are, then they'll return the favor. So, I don't try and differentiate who's driving. I drive everybody the same way and try and hopefully they'll do the same to me.
Right. Now, we also have another listener that just asked, do you have any plans after school that are other than racing?
Yeah, I mean, with racing, it's definitely going to be hard to go to college. I definitely want to. I mean, I'm looking into some type of engineering, hopefully, but with my travel schedule, who knows what I'll end up doing. I mean, online classes or I don't know. I mean, I got a year to figure it out, so I definitely want to go to school. It's something that, I mean, if racing doesn't work out, then I'll have a backup plan, and I'm going to try and go to school.
Now, how hard would it be to do engineering online?
I really don't even know. I mean, the first 2 years are mostly prerequisites in college, so if anything,
yes,
I can get those done. So I don't know. I'm going to have to figure all that out.
Well, a word of advice, I have recently, not recently, because I'm in my second year now, gone back and I'm getting a second degree in marketing and public relations.
Mm.
And I happen to do it online. And the first year was pretty, it flowed, like you said, prerequisites. You know, everything was intro. The intro to this, the intro to that. You know, if you were to go to University of Phoenix, I can tell you what your first 12 classes are. I can tell you. I got the papers, not that we'll cheat, but but I'm finding now I'm almost done with my second year and going into my third, and it becomes more and more time-consuming. Instead of an hour and a half a day, I find that I'm spending 4 hours a day. I find that I am getting less and less sleep, and, you know, and that's where it becomes, like you said, you know, your first 2 years, you know, would be fairly easy. Then you could always transfer or something like that. But it would be a wise decision to probably do it online because you only have to participate 4 days a week.
Yeah, therefore, exactly.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're free Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, as long as you have your assignments done that are due on Sundays.
So that's kind of what I've been looking into.
Well, and you're right there, too. University of Phoenix. There you go. You need the address. Yeah. www. Wow. Do you have any special interests outside of racing that you try to do or?
Well, I mean, I just racing takes up a lot of time. I work when I'm in the off time. I mean, during the summer I work, and then once school starts back up, I try and stay focused on that mostly. And I don't know when I can, I'll go up north, and we have a cabin up there, go fishing and stuff, and try and just get out a little bit. But I mean, during the summertime it's hot as heck here. There's not a whole lot to do.
Right, right. Girlfriend, anything like that? Do we need to let these girls know to back off? Did you have a girlfriend?
I don't have time for that right now.
No. But I bet you there's a lot calling, huh?
Oh, sometimes.
Oh, are we putting you on the spot now, Landon?
No, no.
Well, it sounds like you know what you want to do and you've got it all tightened up. It's just a matter of, you know, I mean, the first thing is, you know, like I said, is graduation. You know, you said that, that's definitely what you want to do. But I think you're definitely heading in the right direction.
Hopefully the plan we have set up will work.
Yeah. As long as the bottom of racing doesn't fall out, which it seems to want to do every once in a while. Definitely wants to do that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
do you have? Go ahead.
Oh no, go ahead.
Do you have any other sponsors or people that you want to, you know, give recognition to?
I mean, I just thank Checkered Flag Foundation, Umbrella Sports Group, and my family and all my friends for supporting me. I mean, that's the key people that keep me going and on the track.
Definitely, definitely. If it wasn't for them, then. You know. Oh, we just have another question, actually. Do you have plans for the Snowball Derby this year?
No, we're not planning on running the Snowball this year.
Okay. Enlighten us. What is Snowball Derby? I don't know what that is.
Oh, it's one of the biggest super late model races there are. It's in Florida at the end of the year, and it's a prestigious race that they have there, but this year, we're not planning on running it. We're just focusing on the Pass South Championship.
Right. And what are your standings in the championship right now?
We're fourth right now. I mean, fourth doesn't sound like we're that close, but actually, the points are really close this year. The top four guys, we're all within. I believe I'm 24 points back, and it's 2 points per position. So, I mean, one bad race for the leader, and we win the race, we could be sitting first in points. And so, I mean, we've been really consistent getting top 10 and top 5s, and I think that we'll be pretty good at the end of the year.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't say fourth is that far back.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, I mean, it could be way spread out or not.
Right. I know some guys right now in the Cup Series that would just, you know, love to say they're in fourth. Quite a few of them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's why it's my competitive side of me, not being accepting of not being first.
Right. Well, you know, it's always nice to have that position, but then, you know, I mean, at least when you're fourth, you know what you're striving for. When you're in first, and you're doing everything you can to hold that point.
Yeah, exactly. We have our goal set for the weekend, and we know what we need to do.
Right. Have you ever been in that position where you're first in points and you're fighting to keep that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've been there throughout the different types of racing I've done, and it's, I mean, you're a little bit nervous every race, hoping that nothing goes wrong, and you knowing that you got to beat a certain guy to make sure you stay this far ahead and whatnot.
Right. I mean, wouldn't you rather be in, say, second, third, fourth, than in the first position to lead it off, to hold it for as long as you do? You know, unless you have.
Yeah, as long as it's close. I mean, if you're in first and you got a dominant lead, sure, I'd love to be out there where you can just go and make sure you're doing good and finishing every race and that you got it on lock. But, I mean, as long as it's close, being in second, third is not really any worse than being in first, as long as it's pretty tight.
Right, because then you still have the feeling of, man, only one more, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I understand that. Well, it sounds like you know, you're on the right track and you know exactly what you want. You're definitely going after it.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely having a good season this year. We had another top 10 our last race, and we're going back to the track this in 2 weeks that we got our first win at. So, I mean, hopefully we'll carry some momentum in there and get another win.
Well, definitely, you know, when you get this championship, don't forget. You need to come back on Girls Getting the Facts so that you can be, you know, you can tell us, hey, I did it. I moved from fourth to first, and I have it.
All right, I'll make sure to come back on once we do that.
That would be awesome. We would love to have you back on.
All right.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we're going to post your information on our Facebook and our Twitter and here in the chat room that we have, so everyone can follow you. And let me just make sure that that's www.landonkling.com.
Yep, and then we have a Facebook page, too, that you can look up stuff on that gets
on
updated.
Facebook?
Yeah.
I'll put that up there right now, and Twitter also.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll get your Twitter handle, and I'll put all of that up there also. Well, we thank you so much for coming on, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Have a great night, Landon.
All right, you guys have a good night.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was interesting. I mean, he sure has a lot going on.
He does, and going into his senior year of high school, that's amazing how he's balanced everything out, is able to race and be doing so well, plus keeping his grades up. I mean, A's and an occasional B, that's incredible.
Right. I had to ask on that because, you know, I get very upset with myself. If I get a grade that's a 98 or a 99, I mean, I'm sticking. You know, so, and I know that's just, you know, with a regular work day, or you know, or taking care of my daughter. But to go to school and to do this is, you know, I mean, that's a big accomplishment.
That is, and that's great to see. And it also, you know, it's a great reminder for everybody out there. I know when I was growing up, all the kids kept saying, well, you know, why do we need school if we want to go into racing? You do. It's important. You know, and it just proves the point right there. You know, you got to keep your grades up. You got to keep going after it.
Definitely. Definitely. And, you know, you also know how hard it is to, you know, to do work full-time and go to school. And even though they say it's school part-time, it's really not.
It's not. I mean, it's just like having a full-time job, but you find the way and you balance everything out and you just make it all work.
Exactly. That is for sure. That is for sure. Well, now let's go back to our news. Let's see. I'm trying to find. Well, I guess I won't be finding anything right now. Because, once again, like I told you earlier, that I'm having some internet issues today. And it just shut me down.
Well, let's go into some of the things that are going to be going on this weekend then. This weekend I'm going to be going up to Pocono to cover the race for Garage Talk Live and GarageTalkLive.com. And there's all kinds of things going on. So there was all kinds of autograph sessions. Tony Stewart and Brad Keselowski, they were both out making appearances today within the Pocono and Lake Harmony area. And even Allentown. Tony came down here to Allentown. He was actually not far from me at all today. But tomorrow is when all the action starts getting going up there at the track. And one of the first things they're going to have is from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock in the kids zone at Fanfare Pocono, they're going to have a couple of the truck drivers coming out and signing autographs. Now, it's free, and it's for the first 200 people that get a wristband for it. So you need to get out to Fanfare when you get there tomorrow. Get in line, get your wristband, so you're one of the first 200 people. They've got a great lineup of people. I mean, Dakota Armstrong, James Buescher, Todd Bodine. Let's see, Jennifer Jo Cobb's going out there, Joey Coulter. A ton of drivers are going out there. So it's a good time to get out there and go see them and meet your drivers. It doesn't cost you anything. And actually, it's just outside of the track, so you don't even need a ticket, I don't think, to get into that section. So you can always go check out Fan Zone. For those of us who are in the infield area, because that's where I'm going to be hanging out pretty much all day tomorrow and through tomorrow evening, they're going to have an Olympic viewing party at the Bud Bar. It's going to be set up out there in the infield. They're going to have Trackside Live going on out in the infield tomorrow night. They're going to have a wiffle ball contest going on for the fans to go have some fun. I mean, that's something you normally can do. I don't know. It's from 5 to 10. We do have some different interviews and dinners and things like that as a media that we are going to be attending and everything, representing Garage Talk Live. But I am kind of curious to go see some wiffle ball being played in the infield. I mean, Pocono's huge. If you've never been there, it's absolutely, it's just huge. There's no words to describe it. There's so much room out there in the infield, and I'm just kind of curious where they're going to be playing and kind of have some fun watching everybody else play, too.
Yeah, wiffle ball,
But there's
I
even
like
more. Yeah, well, there's even more. This isn't even the end of everything that's going on. This is all after the stuff is done on track tomorrow. So we got wiffle ball, we got Trackside Live, we got the Olympic party, we've got a driver Q&A session going on, and that's going to be at the stage in the infield with James Buescher, Nelson Piquet Jr., Cale Gayle, Justin Laughlin. They're going to be out there doing question and answers with the fans. So you can go on out there and ask your drivers their questions and everything like that and find out what's going on. And if that wasn't enough, as soon as they're done with the Q&A session, they're going to have Emily's Toy Box playing live music for the fans. And guess what? This is all included with your ticket for the infield. It's all included. You don't have to pay anything extra. You have your infield pass for the weekend. Well, guess what? You're getting all these events as a bonus. So they're going to keep you busy at nighttime, even when there's no racing going on. And that's just your Friday schedule. And then we're going to get up Saturday morning. We're going to get up early. We're going to do it all again. Reagan Smith is going to be starting our day off with Miss Sprint Cup at the Sprint Cup Experience out in the Fan Zone at 9:30 in the morning. He's going to do a Q&A session. They're going to be doing the Olympic party again at the Bud Bar on Saturday after the racing's done on the track. They're going to be doing the wiffle ball again. And they're going to give you another free concert out there by 40 Pound Head. I mean, again, this is 40 Pound Head. I'm not sure who they are. I haven't heard of them before, but we'll find out. And then Sunday, which is the cup day, it's the big day, they're going to do, and this is something that's become really, really popular with the fans up there. It's called the Fanfare Scavenger Hunt. Everybody's going to meet at the flagpole behind the grandstands by gate 8, and it's 8:30 in the morning. The first 50 teams, it's got to be two people on each team. You got to go get these clues and go find these things that they have hidden all over the place, and you got to read the clues and figure out where the stuff's hidden at. And the top five finishing teams all get a ticket upgrade on Sunday's race day. So it doesn't cost you anything to enter, and you can end up getting a better seat out of the deal. So go have some fun. Do the Fanfare Scavenger Hunt. They're going to have a tweet up, so make sure you have at Pocono Raceway coming through on your phone for all the Twitter updates so you know. When they do the tweet up, it means it's going to be Pocono Raceway representatives, Sprint Cup drivers, team members, media members. They're all going to meet up with the fans for 20 minutes, but you're not going to know where it's at until they tell you where to go and when to be there.
Until they tell you where to go.
Exactly. And then they're going to have all kinds of raffle items, ticket upgrades, autograph stuff, and so much more. So you never know who's going to be at the tweet-up, so make sure you have them following at Pocono Raceway on your Twitter and have it coming through to your phone with the update so you know where they're going to be so you can get out there. If you have your Tricky Triangle Club driver appearance ticket pass for Sunday, you're going to be meeting Jeff Gordon, Denny Hamlin, Brad Keselowski,
sure.
and Juan
for
Pablo
sure.
Montoya. If you have the Tricky Triangle Club Pass, it's a $99 pre-race ticket add-on. And what does
that?
I'm already there.
Did you go and get? I just want to make sure you went and got that for me.
Oh, for you? Okay.
Because Jeff and I have never had the pleasure of meeting, and you know, and I think he's missing out.
Oh, well, we'll have to set that up. We'll get that set up. But this is pretty cool. Okay, for $99, you add this onto your ticket, all right? This includes your meeting with them. It includes your food, your drink. Well, 4 beer tickets for 21 and over. So I guess that's a bonus for them. You get a pit tour pass, so you get to go through and see the pits and everything like that on a little tour. You get to have your own little question and answer session and everything like that. You get in a Pennsylvania 400 diecast. And a program and a whole bunch of more things. So it's just an add-on upgrade you can put on your ticket to have some fun. And Juan Pablo Montoya, then he's going to be out in the Chevy display, meeting with the fans at 9:50 in the morning. And then, of course, you can't forget Speed's race day is going to be going on. It's in the infield, and if you have to, they either have an infield pass or a pre-race pit paddock band on. That's going to be from 10 to noon on Sunday to get you all pumped up and ready to go racing.
Well,
I mean, that's just extras for the fans. I mean, that's not everything else in all the regular events that are going on. These are just extra things the track is doing. I mean, I think that's pretty cool. I mean, Brandon listened to the fans. He listened to the teams. He listened to everybody. And he's taking all of their suggestions and everything into consideration. And he is changing it up. And he is making it better. You know, they put in the $15 million solar farm. They put in a kid zone for the fans. They resurfaced the track. They put in the safer barriers. I mean, they're just working so hard to make the track better for everybody and more enjoyable for everybody.
Well, that just sounds like, I mean, there's not many tracks that offer all of that. I mean,
there
you
isn't.
Go, you watch the race, you go. You know, Texas in November, I don't know what it's going to be called this year. I should have looked and seen, you know, like Fandango, you know, where the drivers will come out from the stands. And go down, you know, for introduction. But now they haven't done that in two to three years, I believe. You know, but Texas used to have a lot of driver interaction. But that has also stopped. And I don't know if it's the track that stops it or the drivers that just aren't interested in participating. Not sure.
Some of it is, too. They get so overbooked and they're running around between, you know, interviews with the media and, you know, Q&A sessions that they have set up with sponsors and things like that. So it does make it tough. And I see these guys. The poor guys are running around. By the time they get in that car, they're tired, you know. It's like, okay, I'm in the car. I've got my peace and quiet time now. I'm going to go race.
Right.
Now, there is one other special thing going on this weekend. And this is a really, really big thing because, well, Idowski thinks he knows who's going to win this weekend. And if his Idowski, the one that's made all these changes, he thinks he knows who's going to win this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a bonus on the line. If the driver he picked to win this weekend wins the race, one lucky fan is going to be taking home $100,000. Now, guess who he picked to win the race?
Jeff Gordon!
No, that's the defending winner. A teammate of Jeff.
Jimmy?
Nope.
Casey Kane?
No. One last try.
Am I avoiding the subject?
You are.
Junior?
Yes.
I am.
Dale Jr. wins this weekend's 400-mile race up there. One lucky random fan will be going home with $100,000. So now who's going to be cheering for him in the grandstands?
Right. Do you have to be cheering for him? Do you have to wear a memorabilia of him?
It's
a shirt, a hat, something?
From what I'm understanding, it's just going to be one random person.
Over the age of 18?
It doesn't even say.
Really?
No.
You know, I'm on my way. Didn't I just tell you I need about $100,000?
That's true. So you're going to be getting out there pushing that car if that's what it takes to get it around the track.
Junior. Come on, baby.
Don't push it across the start-finish line. Just give it a good shot.
I'm looking for $100,000, and you can help me out one way or another.
Dale Junior wins. I think that's a cool bonus. I mean, you know, and some of the things
so.
You said to him, you know, I told people, be honest. We can't get better unless you tell us what you like. You know, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I'd rather hear the harsh criticism. Some are going to ask
right.
for the impossible, but the majority of the time you get good creative criticism. And
mm-hmm.
I think I am, you know, it is helping. There are changes and everything like that. You know, and it's Pocono. One thing most people don't realize is it's such a big track. You know, I said personally,
right.
I'd love to see some grandstands put in different sections, you know. I'd love to see maybe a couple grandstands put where, you know, like in one of the turns, like maybe turn one on the edge of it or something like that. Kind of spread
right.
it out a little bit. You know, it's going to be more spread out for the fans, but I think it would give a neat view.
Well, definitely, definitely. But, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, they have it so generalized. If you were to put it out, then, you know, and I'm just thinking from the marketing aspect, then, you know, you've got the seats, you know, they're all the way over there. Well, then they're going to have to build concession stands over there and fan experience stuff over there. You know, and maybe that's why they don't want to do it, just because of the cost of adding not just the seats, but everything that goes with it.
Right. I mean, you're going to have to have the bathrooms and everything like that
mm-hmm.
over there. But, I mean, it's one step at a time. You know, he did the first part is he repaved the track. He's gotten the surface better. The drivers really liked it last time. They said it was a lot nicer. You know, and now that they've had a couple other things run on the track and everything like that, I'm kind of curious to see how the cars are going to react on the track this weekend. And it should be good. And there's one
yeah.
other thing to note. And I didn't know this, actually. One of my girlfriends told me this that I go traveling with. There are two tall steeples on the top of the spotters area.
Mm-hmm.
All right, they're good to help keep that lightning away from everybody else because it's going to hit there first before it hits anything else.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Pocono is always plagued for rain at some point in time in the weekend. So, knock on wood, it's not going to come tomorrow or Saturday. We're going to knock on wood for that. We don't want to see any rain all weekend long, but I prefer not tomorrow and Saturday if we could all avoid it. But, you know, it's another thing. When you go up to the track, be prepared to tailgate. Get up there early, have some fun. You know, they got the kids zone and everything like that. They got the fan zone. Go enjoy the day. Make a day out of it. I know a couple of people that are going up, that are listeners of Garage Talk Live, and they said the same thing. You know, we heard what you said, and we're going to take your advice. We're going to go up early. We're going to go be able to see things. Because if you wait till the last minute, you're going to miss out on a lot of stuff. You're not going to be able to see it all. You know, and there's a lot of free things they are offering this year. If you get the chance when you're there, take a walk around the outskirts of the track. Go see that solar panel field. It's amazing. It's huge. But that solar panel field is now powering not only the track, but the community around it. So it's their way of giving back to the community as well.
Right. Well, I think that's, you know, I mean, it's definitely not just going to a race.
No,
it's
not.
And that's what they need to get out of, you know.
Right.
A lot of people don't go. Why would I go when I can go sit in the track, sit in the stands, see this section only, and only hear one thing?
Right, and you know what?
When I can watch it from the comfort of my home with beer that doesn't cost $8.50, and I can drink as many as I want and watch everything.
Right, but you know what? Pocono gives you a unique experience up there. They really do. When you go up there as a
right.
fan, you can get what's called that pit paddock pass.
Mm-hmm.
What they've done is, like some tracks have put windows and stuff like that in so you can kind of see to the garage stalls, but this isn't windows. This is just a fence between you and the garage stalls, and the cars going in and out. They have areas where you can stand in that the drivers stop to sign autographs and everything like that. I mean, there's no guarantee you're going to get one, but your odds are pretty good you're going to get somebody's autograph throughout the weekend if you go up there and get this pre-race pit paddock pass. I want to say it's like a $30 add-on for your ticket. You got to keep that wristband on for all 3 days. It's not replaceable or anything like that, but you can actually get pretty close to everything and see everything and still be safe. You're not going to have to worry about getting
right.
run over by a car or anything like that. And,
right.
like, I used to take my kids up for it on a Friday and Saturday. They used to love it because then they could see their drivers go by and they could wave to them. And that's all most of the time they wanted was a high five. They didn't even want an autograph. They just wanted a high five from a driver. They didn't care who it was. They just wanted a high five, you know. But you can get the access to the drivers up there that not all the tracks give you. You know, like I said, there's no guarantee. But you can see the teams working on the cars. See what they're going through when they're trying to get these cars ready for practice and qualifying and race mode. And it is a neat experience. And, you know, it's something that you don't get to see at all the tracks. So it's something nice
right.
and different to go do and enjoy and participate in. And that pre-race paddock pass gets you out to the speed zone stand, too, so you can see that stuff.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. I wish I was there. We have a blast.
We'll get you up here one of these weekends.
Definitely. Well, let's go ahead and do our facts and notes about Pocono.
Okay.
Pocono Raceway was opened in 1968 as a three-quarter mile track. The raceway held its first race on the 2.5-mile track in 1971. The first NASCAR Sprint Cup race was in 1974. The track was repaved in fall of 2011. There have been 69 NASCAR races there. There was one race from 1974 to 1981 and two a year since then. Let's see. This is the first time that this track will be scheduled for 400 miles. Prior to this, it was always 500 miles.
Yep, the first 400 miler went really well when they did it at this spring race, if you want to call it that, kind of was. It did. The driver said it was a lot nicer with the shorter race.
Okay, questions, answers. Who won the first pole there?
You're going back before me. Oh.
I know. Remember, the first NASCAR race was in 1974. Buddy Baker.
Ah.
There have been 38 different pole winners. The pole has been swept only three times. Bill Elliott, 1985. Kenny Schrader in 1993, and a current driver in 2006. Who was that current driver? Denny Hamlin.
Really?
Denny Hamlin.
Oh, was that the year he dominated? That was the year he dominated up there.
Right. The first NASCAR Sprint Cup race at Pocono was won by the one and only Richard Petty.
That's what I thought, the king.
Yeah, the one and only.
The one and only.
31 drivers have won races at Poconos, led by Bill Elliott and Jeff Gordon, with five victories each. 20 drivers have won there more than once.
Wow.
There have been six season sweeps at Poconos. The last one was, of course, Denny Hamlin in 2006, Bobby Allison in 82 and 83, Tim Richmond, isn't that he's the one they called Hollywood?
You know, I don't remember what it is. I'm not sure.
In 86 and 87, and they each won three consecutive races.
Wow.
48 of the 69 races have been won from a top 10 starter. I don't see anything else more interesting. I don't see Jeff Gordon's name anymore, so I guess we're done.
Well, he's your defending race winner.
He is your defending race winner,
and he does do really well up there. I have to give him credit for that. He knows his way around that track.
You know, he knows his way around most of the tracks, but he hasn't proven that this year because I believe, we're 15th in points? We're not going to get any further if he doesn't start doing something. You know, I mean, we need top one, right? We need top one. That's where we need to finish in the top one.
He's waiting to be the comeback. He's being the comeback of the year. He's going to come back.
It's too late.
Like how Tony did it last year, started sweeping.
It's too late. Tony is a good second-half driver, but it's too late for Jeff. And for me to say that, it's killing me. My heart is breaking to have to say that. But I have to say it. Now, Rick Hendricks owns the most victories at Poconos with 12. Oh, I lost it. Let's see, anything else other than Jeff Gordon? That's it.
Do you have Dale Jr.'s stats for up there since, you know, their brand is picking him to win?
Let me see. If I can find them. Okay. Let me pull that up. Go ahead and talk about something else while I'm doing that, if you don't mind. It's going to take me a minute.
Well, I do want to mention, when you are there and you're hitting the fan zone, go see the Air Force display. We're going to tell you to all go visit there. They have all kinds of neat goodies and everything like that they're going to give away. Again, another listener of our show is actually one of the husband and wife that run it and drive from track to bring you the show car and the display and everything like that. But it's more than that there at the Air Force display. They are honoring the men and women that serve our country there. The Air Force members do come to the display. They get to hang out there for a little bit. I know in the spring they had food cooked and everything for them. And just go out there and support the men and women in that display. It's a great job that they do. You know, they serve our country. And then at the track, you know, it's just something small that they try and do to repave them. And you get to have a little fun at that little area. I know they have games and things like that and all kinds of prizes and stuff that they give away. So make sure you go out there and check it out. Say hi to Sharon and her husband when you go over there. That's definitely one of the things you're going to see at the Fan Zone. I'm not sure if they're going to have any other special visitors there this weekend, but make sure you keep an eye out there. They'll have it posted in front of the Fan Zone display that they have set up if they're going to have any visitors or anything like that. And say thank you to the members of the Air Force when you're there, too, for everything they do for our country.
Well, that would definitely be something to, you know, to go and do and, you know, make sure we say thank you because we wouldn't be able to do half the stuff that we do.
Yep, it's nice to see. I know. I'm trying to think who was older. I think the Army had a display last time as well. It's nice to see when you have the displays out there and everything like that. And it's just, it's great. You know, just walk over there and tell them thank you. You know, it's the least you can do for them for all they've done for us.
Definitely. All right. I've got what you're looking for.
All right. So what are his stats up there?
I'm a little worried.
Oh.
I'm definitely a little worried.
But remember, his season's been getting better, so maybe, you know.
Right. You know, just because the season's getting better, I'm going back to 2000.
Oh,
and, no, it's not good. And his average is 16.
Oh.
Let's just say he started in, we'll just do the rundown. June 19, 2000, started 15th. Well, I'm going to go for DEI first. Started 15th, ended 19th. July 2000, started 15th, ended 13th. June 2001, started 6th, ended 20th. Here's a positive. July started 12th, ended 2nd. June
better.
Of 2002, yeah, much better. June 2002, 14th ended 12th. July 11th ended 37th. 2003, 5th and ended 4th. Here's another positive. In July, started 18th, ended 3rd. 2004, 16th and 6th. And then 16th and 25th. 2005, 34th to 33rd. 38 to 32, 2006, 11 to 14, 26 to 43. Accident. That looks like his only accident at Pocono there. So the only accident that he had, he ran 115 laps out of the 200. 2007, he started 13th, ended 12th. Well, okay, 2000, in August, he started on the pole. And finished second.
That's better.
Right. Let's see how many laps he led. He only led 8 laps there. Now, here's with Hendricks. In 2008, he started 7th and ended 4th. Started 12th and ended 12th. Started 18th and ended 27th. That was pretty bad. Started 22nd and ended 28th. And these are all completed all laps, by the way.
Okay.
In June 2010, he started 3rd, ended 19th. August, he started 20th and ended 27th. 2011, 21st, ended 6th. 19th, ended 9th. And this year in June, it was 8th and ended 8th. But he did lead 36 laps.
Yeah, because the crowd was screaming.
Right. But it's still looking pretty bleak.
It is, but you know, he might be able to overcome it. So we're going to stay optimistic.
Okay. Sure.
We'll stay optimistic.
Sure. Oh, but, you know, but if it was Jeff, there's no way he's going to lose it.
That's true.
Oh, I know.
So
I
we
know.
Got...
But you know what? Let's just hope that Junior does win it, because, you know, that would be pretty cool. I mean, just to say, look, I went to a race and won $100,000.
Yeah, that would be neat. You know, somebody would be a really lucky fan. Yeah, I'm still pulling for Tony, but I still think I'm Tony's jinx. So
just
sorry,
go right
Tony.
Ahead.
Sorry, Tony. Mm-hmm. I know I'm your jinx, so I'm coming this weekend to cover the race. So I just, like, took your chances of winning down to nothing. So I'm sorry. I'll admit it. I went to Daytona. He had it locked up going down the last lap, and Newman passed him coming down the checker. You know, just things like that. You know, Dover, he got walloped in the first couple laps of the spring race. So, yeah, I'm the jinx. I admit it. You can blame me. Anytime you have a bad weekend, Tony, I'll take the blame. It's all right. I got it.
Well, you know what? You go ahead, and it looks like you've been blamed a lot lately.
Yeah, I'll take the blame. Okay. I'm all right. I'll be the jinx. It's good, you know. But, you know.
Yeah. Like I said, we've already made our picks.
We did.
You know.
So, there'll be Truck Cup and NARCA at Pocono this weekend. Nationwide's out in Iowa. But if you're at Pocono, track me down. I always have Garage Talk Live goodies on me. So track me down at Pocono and just scream my name or just scream Garage Talk Live and I'll be paying attention. I promise.
Did you say you always have what? Garage Talk Live what?
Goodies.
Goodies?
Yeah, I always have little goodies.
I thought you said cookies.
Oh, no cookies this weekend. There's no nationwide at the track, so if there's no nationwide, you're not getting cookies. Sorry.
You know what? If you're not part of a certain team, sorry, you just don't rank.
So yeah, unfortunately, my Cup boys don't get any cookies from me. Only nationwide guys do. So.
Well, just because them Cup boys just don't appreciate it like our nationwide boys do.
But I got a busy weekend. I'm going to be leaving for Pocono about 5:00 in the morning. I'll be coming back Saturday afternoon in time to go cover Grandview, and then trucking right back up to Pocono for Sunday. So long weekend for
Sunday.
Me.
So you're really doing it, huh?
Are you
taking the cycle on both?
I don't know yet. I don't know. I'm taking it tomorrow. So if you see a Harley Sportster in the parking lot and it's near the media center, it's probably my little baby. Don't tip it over.
Right. Right.
But, I'll be doing that. And then Monday night we'll be back on for Garage Talk Live. We're going to have truck driver Paulie Haraka and a taped interview with Sam Hornish. Tuesday night is Reading Fairgrounds. For the Reading Fair, I'm going to be going out there covering some events and I believe doing a live remote broadcast. We're going to get that set up to do from up there and some other little odds and ends up there and then back to the normal week.
Yeah. Now, you want to go over a little bit of Iowa news? I can't even think. NASCAR Nationwide news.
Yeah, what you got going on in Iowa?
Well, let's see. I just pulled it up. I thought, let's see. Okay, Ryan Blaney's mother, she's from Iowa.
Well, that doesn't help much.
There we go. Okay. And that wraps it up for tonight. That's all we needed to know.
That's all you need to know on that one. That's kind of like Forrest Gump. That's all I've got to say about that.
That's all I got to say about that. All righty. Let's see here. I'm sorry. I just had to, you know, throw that in a little bit. What the topic is, it says future stars getting opportunity with powerhouse teams. And it says Ryan Blaney, whose mother is from Iowa, Brett Moffitt, and Darrell Wallace Jr. Will all be behind the wheel of NASCAR Nationwide Series this weekend in Iowa. All three drivers are in the NASCAR K&M Pro Series East, but have an opportunity to prove that they can drive for the NASCAR Nationwide teams. Blaney will compete for Penske Racing. He's going to be racing partial season for the NASCAR K&M Pro Series. He's made three starts with two top five finishes, and he's currently 22nd in the standings.
This will be his fifth start nationwide with his best finish at 17th, and that was in Richmond. Moffitt, he currently is the top of the standings in the K&M Pro Series East. He'll be in a race car for RAB Racing, RAB. He has 2 wins, 7 top 5, and 8 top 10 in the 9 starts of the regional series. This will be his first NASCAR National Series start. And Wallace is returning to Iowa Speedway with Joe Gibbs Racing. He made his only start in the series earlier this year at Iowa. And he sits 10th in the K&M Pro Series East with only 1 win. 3 top 5s and 4 top 10s. So those are our new boys that will be on the track.
All right.
And the Dash for Cash wraps up this weekend. It comes down to Dylan. I'm not even going to say his last name because if some of the other guys were on, they'd tell me I was saying it wrong. But Stenhouse. I'm from California. I call it Steinhaus. But, you know, y'all people from, look, here I am saying y'all. Been in Texas too long. So, okay, Stenhouse. It comes down to Dylan, Stenhouse, Hornish, and Mike Larnett. One final attempt to grab a $100,000 bonus. So, we'll see. We're going to see what that is. You know, how that's going to pull out. I'm going to say Dylan's got it.
Yeah, I think that would be a good pick. He's been super strong compared to the ones he's up against this weekend. But, you know, Stenhouse is just as good of a driver, you know, if he has a good weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think. I don't know. He gets, to me, you know, when there's something like this on the line, he seems to get a little squirrely.
Okay.
I don't think he can hold it. I don't think he's going to.
Well, we'll have
to
tune in this weekend and see.
Definitely. Definitely tune in to see. I think Dylan will go ahead and get it. So, wish him the best. You know, maybe he can help me with the $100,000 that I need.
Oh.
Let me call him right up. All righty, let's see. Kurt Busch will pull double duty this weekend by appearing in the U.S. Cellular 250 for Brother Kyle's number 54 team and the Sprint Cup in Phoenix Racing at Pocono.
Interesting.
So, you know,
so there could be lots of helicopters going in and out this weekend.
Yes, there definitely will. The number 54 team, Jason Leffler makes his return to the NASCAR Nationwide Series for Turner Motorsports, then the number 30. Joey Gass of Cedar Rapids will run for Go Green Racing. Jeremy Clements and Travis Pastrana are both coming off career days at Indianapolis after finishing 3rd and 10th. So that is basically the Iowa news. We can get the my entry list and see. There are 44 cars scheduled to start. There's been some changes. Daryl Haar, H-A-R-R, pulling back up. I love this new computer. It's just as slow as my old one. You know? Okay, let's see. We've got Josh Richards coming back in the 08 for Randy Hill. Mike Bliss doesn't have a sponsor yet. Will be driving for Mark Smith in the number 10. Carl Long will be for Rick Ware in RWR in the number 15. Again, Darrell Wallace Jr. will be doing for Joe Gibbs. Let's see who else. Matt, I can't say his last name, but I absolutely love it. Debendito. Debendito. I don't know why I like the way that looks, but it just, I really like it. He's going to be in the number 42 for Curtis Key Sr. Chase Miller will be driving for Curtis Key Sr. in the 46. There is a
Tim Schindel in the 47 also for Curtis Key Sr. TJ Bell, well, he is a regular. Why is he red? Alrighty. Well, TJ Bell will once again be driving the number 50 Chevy for Make Motorsports.
There we go.
If we didn't know that. I'm really not sure. I'm going to have to look into that. That kind of concerns me. Justin Jennings, it will be in the number 52 for Jimmy Means. Matthew Carter will be in the 71 for Rick Ware. Mike Harmon will be driving the number 74. Michael Guidry will be in the 75 for Rick Ware. Morgan Shepherd will be in the 89. And Jeff Green is back out there for Mark Smith and the 91.
Very cool.
So those are, yeah, those are our, oh, well, that's why they changed it up. Okay, never mind. We must qualify on time.
Okay.
So, but, you know, that's the new, you know, the newcomers.
Right.
And the only one that is locked in with provisional is, let me go back down, Jeff Green.
Okay.
He's with the championship points. So, and that is our Iowa news. It's unofficial, by the way. Let's just make sure we state that. Unofficial entry list.
Okay.
Not that they're... So, and that's about all I have.
All right. Well, I guess then we'll wrap it up for this week. And remember, we'll be back Monday night. Vince will be joining us on Monday night. So the gang will all be there. We'll be doing Pocono wrap-up. We're going to be doing Sam Hornish. The taped interview is going to be airing. We're going to have Pauly Haraka live. And, of course, Grand View results. So don't forget to tune back in Monday night.
Right. Quite a bit of results with Tammy being all over the East Coast.
I'm going to be running all around the state of Pennsylvania this weekend. So you never know where you're going to find me, but, you know, just keep an eye out.
Make sure you get your Philly cheese.
So,
sorry, I had to go there.
That's all right. Well, thank you for joining me again this week. And then we'll be back in action Monday night and next Thursday.
Thank you all for tuning in. Have a all great right. night. Nice weekend.
Yeah, everybody have a great week. We'll see you at Pocono.
Bye.
Bye.